Ramayana Balakanda, Part 7. Vishvamitra then related to Lord Ram the story of King Sagara, who long ago ruled the world from his capital, Ayodhya. Because Maharaj Sagara was unable to beget a son, along with his two wives, he went to the Himalayas to perform austerities. And after some time, the king was benedicted by the great Rishi Bhrigu with the boon that he would receive a son by one wife who would become the perpetrator of his dynasty, while his other wife would give birth to 60,000 more sons. Hearing this, the two queens questioned Bhrigu Muni who would receive the one son and who would receive the 60,000. Bhrigu replied that the decision would be left up to them. Thus, Keshani, the elder queen, chose to have the single son who would perpetrate the Ikshvaku line, while Sumati, the sister of Garuda, chose to have the 60,000 sons. Maharaj Sagara returned home, and in due course, a son was born to Keshani, and he was given the name Asamanjasa. Sumati, however, gave birth to a lump of flesh which was shaped like a bitter melon. Shortly thereafter, when the lump was opened up, 60,000 embryonic sons emerged. Immediately, they were placed in jars of ghee by their nurses until they could complete their development. Later on, when these 60,000 sons began growing up, their cruel elder stepbrother, Asamanjasa, began to throw them into the river Sarayu, laughing with great pleasure, seeing them drown. Being very aggrieved due to the vicious behavior of his son, Maharaj Sagara finally decided to exile Asamanjasa from his kingdom. Although he kept the son of Asamanjasa, Anshuman, who was loved by all the subjects. And after some time, Maharaj Sagara inaugurated the performance of a horse sacrifice, with Anshuman protecting the challenge horse as it wandered over the earth. However, during the performance of the sacrifice, King Indra appeared in the guise of a Rakshasa and stole the horse from the sacrificial arena. The priest fervently urged Maharaj Sagara to recover the horse at all costs. He warned that if the sacrifice remained incomplete, it would be most inauspicious. Maharaj Sagara then ordered his 60,000 sons to search the entire earth for the horse, allotting to each of them one square yojana. He further instructed his sons that if the horse could not be found elsewhere, they should look below the earth. Thus, as Maharaj Sagara and his grandson Anshuman waited at the sacrificial arena, the 60,000 princes searched the entire earth. And when they were unable to find the horse anywhere, the sons of Sagara began digging into the earth. However, this upset the inhabitants of the lower worlds, such as the Nagas. Indeed, even the earth herself became extremely disturbed. And upon seeing this, the demigods approached Lord Brahma, petitioning him to set the situation correctly. Lord Brahma pacified the demigods, explaining that since the earth was a consort of Lord Vishnu, the Lord in his form of Kapila would soon annihilate all 60,000 sons of Sagara. But even after digging up the earth, and also killing many living beings in the process, the sons of Sagara still could not find the sacrificial horse, and thus returned to their father disappointed. When the 60,000 princes inquired from their father what they should do next. The king ordered them to continue digging further down until the horse was found. The sons of Sagara then resumed their excavation of all four quarters of the earth's surface, and they soon came to see the four colossal elephants who protect the four directions and support the earth. These gigantic elephants support the entire weight of the earth upon their backs. And when, due to exhaustion, they sometimes shake their heads for relief, this creates earthquakes. And so finally, after penetrating the earth all the way down to Rasatala, the sons of Sagara came upon Lord Kapila sitting in meditation, while nearby, the very sacrificial horse stood grazing peacefully. Sagara's sons assumed Kapila Dev to be the thief. They thus angrily took up their digging implements and rushed towards Kapila Dev to kill him. Seeing this act of aggression, Lord Kapila became angry, but simply by uttering the mantra HUM, Lord Kapila reduced the 60,000 sons of Sagara to ashes. After a long time, when his sons had not returned, Maharaj Sagara sent his grandson, Anshuman, to search for his 60,000 sons as well as the sacrificial horse. By following the path of his uncles, Anshuman came to the passage excavated by them. And after entering the earth, Anshuman came upon the great elephants and inquired from them about the whereabouts of his uncles. In reply, the elephants assured him that by continuing down the passage, he would soon come to know everything. At last, Anshuman reached the place where the ashes of the sons of Sagara lay. And seeing this, Anshuman became overwhelmed with grief. He found the sacrificial horse nearby and decided to first offer water for the departed souls of his uncles before returning to his grandfather. Unfortunately, there was no water to be found in that place. And while Anshuman was thinking of what to do, Garuda suddenly appeared. "My dear Anshuman, do not grieve for your uncles, for their deaths are ultimately meant for achieving a glorious purpose. The sons of King Sagara will be instrumental in bringing the sacred river Ganga down to earth for the welfare of all people. Your uncles were burnt to ashes by the great sage Kapila. But when their remains are washed over by the waters of the Ganga, they will attain a heavenly destination. So go, take the sacrificial horse, and return to your grandfather so that the sacrifice can be completed." Upon the return of the sacrificial horse, Maharaj Sagara successfully concluded the sacrifice. After hearing from Anshuman the prophetic words of Garuda, the king became absorbed in trying to formulate the means to make Ganga descend to earth. However, Maharaj Sagara passed away before achieving that goal. After the death of his grandfather, Anshuman ruled the kingdom for some time. Later, he gave the throne to his son Dilipa and retired to the forest in order to perform austerities, hoping to induce Ganga to descend to earth. After his death, Anshuman went to the heavenly planets, but his desire to cause the descent of Ganga still remained unfulfilled. Dilipa also sought to bring Ganga down to earth, but he too died before his desire could be fulfilled. Dilipa's son, Bhagiratha, then inherited the kingdom and likewise desired to perform austerities to cause Ganga to descend. Since he had no son, Bhagirath entrusted the rule of the kingdom to his ministers and then retired to the forest. After Maharaj Bhagirath had performed austerities for 1,000 years, Lord Brahma became pleased with him. Accompanied by the demigods, Lord Brahma appeared before the king in order to award him a benediction. Bhagirath worshipped Lord Brahma and then begged, "Please allow my ancestors, the sons of King Sagara, to receive the water of the Ganga, and, in addition, kindly benedict me with a son." "O Bhagirath, I agree to award you these benedictions. However, the earth is incapable of bearing the weight of Ganga's descent. So you should request Lord Shiva to absorb the impact of the falling water, for only he is powerful enough to do so." Determined to gain Lord Shiva's favor, Bhagirath began performing severe austerities. He stood motionless on the tip of a single toe for exactly 1 whole year. And then Lord Shiva was pleased to appear before the king. And when Maharaj Bhagirath expressed his desire, Lord Mahadev agreed to bear the force of Ganga's falling water upon his head. And soon afterward, Ganga began to descend towards earth from her course in the heavenly planets. All the demigods assembled to witness the spectacle. However, when Ganga Devi saw Lord Shiva prepare to take her upon his head, she considered that his contact would thus contaminate her. And upon seeing the expression of disgust displayed by Ganga Devi, Lord Shiva became insulted. So in retaliation, he angrily captured her and concealed her waters within his matted hair, thus thwarting her descent to earth. When Maharaj Bhagirath saw how Ganga had become entangled, he resumed his austerities. Finally, Lord Shiva gave up his anger and released Ganga Devi, allowing her to fall into the Bindu Sarovara in the Himalayas. Afterwards, Ganga split into 7 streams. 6 of these formed other rivers, while the 7th followed Maharaj Bhagirath as he rode upon his royal chariot. While wending her way through various lands, it so happened that Ganga inundated the sacrificial arena of the great sage Janu. Becoming excited with rage, the Rishi swallowed up the entire Ganga River. And upon seeing this, the demigods were struck with wonder. They then approached Janu and requested him to release Ganga Devi on the condition that she would become known as his daughter. The Rishi agreed, and thus Ganga was able to continue her journey. Finally, Ganga reached the site that had been excavated by the sons of Sagara. By entering that great crevice, the Ganga went down to Rasatala, and in so doing, Ganga submerged the ashes of the 60,000 sons of Sagara, thus enabling them to reach their heavenly destination. Once more, Lord Brahma appeared before Maharaj Bhagirath. "O King, your mission has now been accomplished. From this time forward, the Ganga shall also be known as your daughter by the name Bhagirathi." After thus delivering his forefathers, Bhagirath returned to his capital and resumed ruling over his kingdom. Thus, the entire night passed away as Vishvamitra narrated to Ram the fascinating history of the river Ganga and her descent to earth.